God, holy God, holy God. Jesus. We'll be turning to the book of Acts, chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 7. You can make your way back to your seats this evening. Beginning the book of Acts, chapter 4, begin reading in verse 7. The word says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.'" Verse 11, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Continuing in verse 13, "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Be seated for a moment. I recognize the responsibility and the task that has been laid upon me tonight to keynote for this service, partially because it is the last night of our preview weekend for spring 2019, but also, Sister Payne, because it is the last preview we will hold in this chapel and my last preview weekend as an Urshan College senior. So I will do something here that I may not do any other time, and you'll have to forgive me as I indulge myself in making a theological statement as I might, although I've not even graduated from undergrad and I'm in no right of an education status to do so. But I believe, Brother Mitchell, that Acts chapter 4 contains the foundation of apostolic spirit-led ministry. In a simple phrase that is often overlooked to the power and authority many preachers, I believe that apostolic spirit-led ministry is contained in Acts chapter 4, noted in a simple phrase that is often overlooked due to the power and authority that many preachers feel, Brother McClintock, when preaching the preceding verse. You see, they oftentimes will preach out loud and preach with exuberance, even in excitement, a statement of authority concerning the name of Jesus. When they read Acts chapter 4, verse 12, they'll get really excited and they'll scream, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And truthfully, if I can start off tonight by pausing and stating that that verse is the epitome of authority and excitement in the life of every apostolic, because we do believe in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We do believe that the name of Jesus Christ is the most powerful name on the planet. It is contained in that name, the power to heal, the power to save, and the power to deliver. The authority to see blinded eyes opened, deaf ears unstopped, stony hearts turned to flesh, souls saved from the gripping power of sinfulness and shame, conviction instated, and lives transformed out of eternal condemnation into eternal glory. All of those lie in that name. It is at that name that demons tremble, Brother Lolo. It is at that name that wounded people are mended. It is at that name that cancer is obliterated. It is at that name, at the very mention of that name, that every knee has to bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. There's something about the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We preach that name. We believe that name. We stand on that name. However, while this continuing revelation of power in that name stands vital to the sake of humanity, an often overlooked statement in the following verse is the key to apostolic spirit-led ministry. We often consider the apostles to be the greatest ministry to encounter this earth save Jesus Christ himself. And the truth is that while Jesus' time here on earth was limited, the continuity of his ministry was delegated to the likes of 12 men who were well aware of his mission and the purpose to which Jesus Christ devoted his life. So I've often considered, Brother Craig, what then is the key for the continuity of Jesus Christ's mission in the apostolic church of today? It's so imperative that we do not miss this next and most important statement in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, because it contains that very key to which you and I subscribe to recognize in this moment. We're often searching for the proper anointings, Colby, in order to see and experience the supernatural in our own lives. So often in our attempts to become what we consider to be the apostolic church that our world is so desperately in need of, we compare the action of our participation in the spiritual gifts and the activation of miracles, signs, and wonders in the church to be a proper gauge for how well we are doing in reaching our world. However, in order to be truly apostolic, as it were, then we would have to be apostle-like in doctrine and in action. The men standing before the determinate council in Acts chapter 4 were in no way men of reputation. The scripture states that they were somehow viewed by these religious leaders as unlearned and ignorant men. Yet those leaders were not able to speak against the actions that Peter and John had taken, because what had occurred in the previous chapter, as Brother McClintock preached yesterday, there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb, who was no longer lame but had been indeed miraculously healed. So understand that this Sanhedrin had for the last 34 years been perplexed with the religious anomaly of God robed in the flesh. So therefore, the major obvious conclusion that they were brought to after experiencing this Book of Acts miracle was that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus was concerned with the brokenhearted, the hurting, the wounded, and those in despair. Therefore, it is of no surprise to me that the first written miracle in the book of Acts performed by the apostles after Jesus' ascension was to someone who fit that very same description and missional target audience. You can often tell a lot about a person by their actions, but as the old phrase goes, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It is more likely that you can not only see who that person is, but also the character and the mantra of the people who have influenced them. So if we want to be truly apostolic, we have to understand then that Peter and John, who were a part of the greatest minister team on the planet, would go on to see many lives changed, many souls saved, and miracles performed. But it was because they had a shared experience in relationship with Jesus Christ. In order to be apostolic, we have to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, Sister Glass. The apostles devoted their time, their energy, their status of their profession, and even their family's approval and the security of the future of their occupation in order to have relationship with Jesus Christ. The world is desperately in need today of apostolic doctrine. And in order to satisfy this pressing need of salvation, the best way to achieve or understand or have to us reveal that apostolic doctrine is to be in full relationship with Jesus Christ. Through his word, firstly, because Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, because in Matthew 16, he had gotten a clear scripturally based revelation of who Jesus was and was granted keys to the kingdom because he was in relationship with him. The world is in need of apostolic spirit-led ministry. And the truth is that before the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the Bible states that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted and tried. Young lady, young man, hear me right now. The difficult times ahead in the future of your ministry, where you're feeling like you're in some sort of spiritual wilderness scenario, are only meant to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can only deliver spiritually led ministry with a clearer revelation of who he is. And you only obtain clearer revelation by clearly stated and defined relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus Christ came out of the wilderness, he stood before his peers, his family members, and religious leaders of his day and stated, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He had a clear revelation of who he was because he had a relationship with the Spirit. In the Old Testament, the anointing oil was meant to be a representation of God's approval on the life of a leader. And it was a signal to others that God's Spirit was resting on them. The New Testament application of this Old Testament concept is no longer on you, but God in you. Last year, the Lord convicted me heavily for falling into the trap of itemizing the anointing like it was some sort of separate addition to my ministry that I could somehow purchase by praying more, fasting more, and reading my Bible more. Then I got this revelation that I ought not to ask God for the anointing like it's some sort of secret sauce to help spice up my messages, but rather that I should understand that the anointing is simply his Spirit inside of me and on me. Which is why every morning when I'm asked and selected to pray over our Brother O'Daniel classes, I managed to sneak into my prayer somehow for the organizational leadership students here at Urshan College that they should be influenced by the anointing of relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important of all the titled anointings. And it's a powerful thought to think that the anointing of God's Spirit on our lives is what brings his authority to deliver, his power to heal, and his strength to reach out for the lost. But it's altogether just as convicting, Brother Cressman, to think that some might try to yield this power without proper relationship. Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" One of the most powerful statements I heard leave a pulpit and come into my ears was when Victor Jackson said, "I'm not content to have the acts of the apostles without the walks of the apostles." And another convicting question that came out of a preacher's mouth: if you were on trial for being a preacher, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So if the world is in need of our apostolic commitment to apostolic apostle-like relationship, Spirit-led ministry, then it's got to be based out of just that apostle-like relationship. I know that you came to Urshan College preview weekend because you had a desire to figure out maybe if you want to come here, maybe not. Maybe you just came to have an experience or to visit some friends. But my prayer this weekend is that you get a revelation that every young man and every young lady that was standing on this platform tonight is somehow locked into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why they're able to minister the way that they are. That's why they're able to preach the way that they are. That's why they're able to sing the way that they are, because they're locked into relationship with Jesus Christ. Whenever you get into the presence of the Lord, you can all stand. Whenever you get into real relationship with Jesus Christ, you get into relationship with the individual that wrote time and eternity, the author and the finisher of your faith. And you may come with 1.5 million questions of who you really are. And since he's the author of that, he gets to tell you who you are. You're an apostle. You're a prophet. You're a teacher. You're a pastor. You're an evangelist. You're a preacher. You're a doctrine teaching Sunday school teacher. You're an apostolic songwriter. You're all of these things whenever you have relationship with him. Statement I'd like to make tonight. We're concerned with a world that needs apostolic spirit-led ministry. But the truth is this. the world will never be won in truth if you are not walking, living, breathing the truth. We are the echoing sound of His voice in the world. We are the echoing sound, like my voice bounces off the back of that wall and comes back to this platform. We're the echo of His goodness and His mercy. We're the echo of His power and His ability. We are the echo of His miracle working talent and His power to work in our lives and to save the lost. We're the echo of truth in the world. You are the bride of Christ in the earth. And it's time for apostolics to stand up and say, I gotta get educated in relationship. I gotta get educated in relationship. I wanna be in relationship with Him because I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell somebody. Come on, throw your hands up right now and ask the Lord to baptize you in relationship. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would baptize us in relationship with you. Let us echo your authority everywhere that we go.